There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. There's a river flowing deep and wide, coming from the Savior's side. From his hands, his feet and brow, sweet holy tide, underneath this river I'll abide. Crimson river, cover me, and his blood, bought one will be. Spring, cleaner than a sparkling stream. Through the ages it has never dried, though the spring it came from died. Intercedes for me, and the crimson river sets me free. Crimson river, cover me, and his blood bought one will be. Spring, cleaner than a sparkling stream, the eternity will be but a starting place for me. Because the crimson river covers all. To praise the Lamb and all because the crimson river covers all.
Amen. Thank you. For those of you that are visiting, wondering why we're singing about a river in church, we're not singing about a river in Alabama that's crimson. We're singing about the river that flows from Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And thank God we can look to Calvary and to the shed blood of Jesus Christ and know that our sins can be forgiven. And if you've trusted Him, they are forgiven and blotted out and will never be remembered again. Open your Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I think my mic is a little hot. John chapter 1. Brother Morrell, it's good to see you here, crippled and all, but that's exactly the reason I moved from a bicycle with two wheels to a stationary bicycle. Bless your heart. You don't know what I'm talking about. He had an accident on his bike. He rides for exercise and he broke his arm. Thank God it wasn't a motorcycle. No telling what you'd have broke. Open your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, having found your place, stand if you will, and we will begin to read in verse number 35. The Bible says again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking unto Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said to them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now I've read to you a portion of the passage dealing here with John the Baptist and the first two disciples that followed Jesus. And it would be good for us to understand that the disciples that Jesus chose, the first group of them, came from John the Baptist. And here, one of those is mentioned by name, and his name is Andrew. And Andrew had a brother named Simon Peter. And the Bible says Andrew first findeth his own brother and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And as far as we understand, this is where Simon Peter got saved. He got saved because someone cared about him. Thank God if you've got a family member that cares about you spiritually. Or thank God that you care about some family member enough to talk to them about Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you tonight for just a few moments on the subject of Andrew, the soul winner. Andrew, the soul winner. Every time I read this, I think about Dr. Carl Hatch. Dr. Hatch's ministry was called the Andrew Ministry. And he was one of the greater soul winners I've ever known in my lifetime. He's with the Lord now, and I'm grateful that after people have lived their life and have gone on to be with the Lord, they've left a legacy. A legacy is a mark that cannot be removed. When I think about soul winning and Andrew, I always think about Carl Hatch. And thank God for a man who was faithful to be a witness. It was one of the joys of this preacher's heart early in his ministry to get acquainted with Carl Hatch and have him speak for us and go soul winning with him. And oh, what an experience you'll never forget. He was a mess. He was ornery. We got along fine. But what a wonderful, wonderful experience. Father, thank you for the privilege of reading this passage and remembering a man who practiced what you put us all here for as Christians. Thank you that he patterned his ministry after Andrew. And just like Andrew, Carl Hatch went after his brothers and led them to Christ and his family and led them to Christ. God, I pray that you'd raise up some new Andrews in our church. Some men and women who'll get concerned about others and give themselves to reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us ought to have some method of reaching people for Jesus. Every one of us ought to be involved in a ministry that's bringing people to Jesus Christ. This is not something just for the preachers. This is something for every Christian. Lord, some of the greatest soul winners are the brand new converts. They get saved and they get concerned about their family, and they bring them to Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, stir in our hearts this wonderful truth that's been around through the years, that just as Jesus came into this world to seek and save that which was lost, he said to us, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Help us to learn this and practice this. Help us to get concerned about the souls of those around us. We thank you, Father, for all those who worked in ministry today and worked after ministry in the country fair program. And all of that was not just to get a crowd, but was to bring people to Jesus, to get people saved. Everything we do as a church ought not be considered first and foremost for our comfort, but how will it help bringing people to Jesus? Now, Lord, I need your help tonight. Fill me with thy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Outside of the list of the apostles, Andrew is only mentioned three times in the New Testament. And each time he is mentioned outside of the list of the apostles, he's bringing someone to Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful testimony to have? When people think about you, you're always bringing someone to Jesus. When people look at you, what do they think about you? Do they think, well, that person's always getting somebody out of church? Or do they think, you know, they're always bringing someone with them? They're always bringing someone to Christ. They're always loving on someone, encouraging someone, trying to be a blessing. The Bible says Andrew started with his own brother. After he left John and followed Jesus, he went to his brother Simon Peter and said, Peter, we found him. We found the Messiah. He brought Peter to Jesus. I believe this is when Peter got saved. I believe Peter put his trust in Christ because someone cared about him. Well, you never know when you lead someone to Christ what God's going to do with their life. I wish I'd have been the one that knocked on Todd Lasseter's door. I wonder how many people he's led to Christ over the years. And you know, the person that God used to bring him in gets credit also for all he leads to Christ. That's the exciting thing about Andrew. Andrew brought Peter to Christ, and Peter was used by God on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 got saved, but Andrew was one up on him. Because in God's record book in heaven, Andrew got part of the count of that 3,000 plus one. He brought Peter to Jesus. I'm glad God's keeping the record. You know, we formulate our ideas and keep our records on the basis of popularity or beauty or handsome or athletic skill. But God's really interested in those that are interested in what He's interested in. Glad I don't have to say that again. He's concerned about bringing people to Jesus Christ. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Another time Andrew is mentioned, there's a great crowd of people, 5,000 men plus women and children. And it was time to eat and everybody else was making excuses. Andrew saw a little old boy with a sack lunch, 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Andrew said, I don't know what the Lord can do with this, but it's something. And he brought him to Jesus, and the little lad gave his lunch to Christ, and he blessed it, and they gave it out and broke it and began to spread it out. And the Bible says they ate as much as they would. And when they were filled, 5,000 men plus the women and children were filled because Andrew cared enough to bring a little lad. He didn't try to figure out all the details. He didn't make all the excuses. He just brought him to Jesus and trust Jesus to do the rest. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could develop that kind of a spirit and a testimony always bringing people to Jesus? Another time, a bunch of Greeks came. The disciples didn't know what to do with them. And Andrew said, I know, let's bring them to Jesus. Jesus was the answer as far as Andrew was concerned. And you know what? Andrew was right. Jesus is the answer. If we just make a beeline to Calvary and bring our burdens to Jesus and our friends to Jesus and our marriage to Jesus and our children to Jesus, our friends to Jesus, it'd sure make a whole change, a great change in our life. God would have every Christian to be an Andrew and bring others to Christ. As I said, this is why Christ came into the world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't come looking for the righteous. He didn't come looking for the big tithers. He came looking for souls that were lost and on their way to hell. I wish we could understand that just as Jesus is our source for salvation and our only source for salvation, He also is the source of supply of our personal needs in our family, in our home. He's the source of supply for our needs in the church. We just keep going back to Jesus. And then I love to read about the earthly ministry. Jesus was not only the Son of God, He was the Son of Man. And I believe the miracles He performed and the ministry He conducted while on this earth, even battling temptation, He did not do as God. He did not face as God. He faced as the Son of Man, empowered with the Holy Spirit of God. Because He wants us to know that we can live a life that's honoring to Christ also. We have the same power of the Holy Spirit of God available to us. And I love to read about His early ministry because, especially in the Gospel of John, He's always getting somebody saved. He's always seeing somebody pass from death unto life. I have a message I preach entitled Jesus the Soul Winner. He's not just the Savior. He's not just the Son of God. He was a soul winner while He was on this earth. He won many people to faith in Himself. Christ then sent out His disciples to do the same thing. He sent them out 2 by 2 to go everywhere and tell people about Jesus. And then in John chapter 15, Christ tells us that it is His plan for every Christian to bear Him fruit. We have not chosen him, but he has chosen us and ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit might remain. It is the plan of God that we bear him fruit. Now, we need no special talents to be an Andrew. We just need to fall in love with Jesus and spend time with him. Andrew followed Jesus, and then he went after his brother. He got a burden for what was important to Jesus. By the way, are you close enough to him to get a burden for what's important to him? Or are you living life only about that which is important to you? If we're going to bring people to Jesus, then we've got to find out what's important to Jesus and make that a priority in our life. Andrew was not a great preacher or teacher. I don't find him in Scripture preaching a message. He didn't write an epistle. He was not a great singer. He was not an athlete or a statesman. But he was devoted to follow Jesus, and he was known for bringing people to Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to look at that statement in verse 41. He first findeth his own brother, and then in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. I want you to notice, first of all, the task of an Andrew. The task of an Andrew. He first findeth his own brother and brought him to Jesus. This is precisely where most Christians fail. We forget first things. First things. Soul winning is not something we can slip into our life if we can find time for it. It is a first thing in the Christian life. If we're to live and practice our Christianity like God intended for us to do so, then soul winning has got to be one of the first things in our life. Christ is to be a first thing. I don't believe that soul winning is the only work in the church. But I don't believe you'll find a work any more important than soul winning in the church. It's a priority work. He first findeth his own brother and brought him to Jesus. After Andrew's salvation, he had a compelling desire to bring people to Jesus. And it started with his family. And I say again, some of the greater soul winners we have around here until they become a member for a while and get to associating with some of you that used to be soul winners and quit. New converts are concerned about their family. They just keep on bringing people to Jesus, and then they get to fellowshipping with some of us. Next thing we know, they're not coming to soul winning either. He first findeth his own brother and brought him to Jesus. As soon as a new convert understands about getting saved, they want to tell those they love and they're concerned about. I hear people all the time saying, it's too hard to talk to my family. Dear God, if we can't talk to those we love most, why is it easy to talk to those you don't know and don't love? If we love someone, there ought to be a compelling burden in us to get them saved. There ought to be that desire that's beyond the normal to lead them to Jesus Christ. Well, they're on their way to hell without hope. And instead of waiting until they die and wishing we'd done differently, why don't we just make it a priority like Andrew, who first findeth his brother. Well, I'll go soul winning after hunting season. I'll go soul winning after ball season. I'll go soul winning after the World Series is over. I'll go soul winning after my job settles down. I'll go, hey, if it's a first thing in our Christian life, then it ought to take priority over most things in our life. There are some first things. Loving Jesus first is a priority. A man loving his wife and a wife loving her husband and submitting to him is a first thing in our life. Our family and children are first things. Now, I mean they are priority things. Soul winning is one of those priority things in our Christian life. The last words Jesus spake before he went back to the Father, he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Could I suggest to you the reason we're not being that witness he told us to be is because we're not walking in the Spirit. We're walking in the flesh. We know nothing about living and yielding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit of God is in charge, you'll be walking down the road or in a store and you'll hear a still small voice saying, "Won't you talk to that person about Jesus?" Devil didn't do that. Thank God we have someone who is in us that's connected with the one at the right hand of the Father. He knows his heart. He knows his burden. And if we'll listen to him and yield to him, he'll do more directing than you'll ever have from your GPS. The Holy Spirit never has to say, recalculating. Recalculating. He knows where they are. He knows who God has already been working on. He knows who that person is that needs our witness. If we just learn to be sensitive to him. Andrew was sensitive to him. He first made it a priority. He first findeth his own brother, brought him to Jesus. You say, "But I don't know how to lead someone to Christ." I don't know that Andrew knew. It didn't say Andrew led him to faith in Jesus Christ. But he knew what salvation was, and he knew who the Savior was, and he knew what Jesus had done in his own heart. And he said, "Simon, I found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Some of the people I know that have been used of God greatly to get people saved really didn't know how to lead anybody to Christ. They just kept bringing them to church and bringing them to church or calling me up and saying, "Would you come down here and lead this person to Christ?" God wants that to be you and me. Do you have a real compassion for souls? If not, you're not living close to Jesus, because if you do, you're going to be concerned about what he's concerned about. He didn't die for your business. He didn't die for the United States of America. He didn't die for your health. He died because you and I were lost and needed a Savior. When we're close to him, we'll have that burden that he has. Then notice, next of all, Andrew first findeth his own brother and brought him to Jesus. Notice that word, findeth. It implies effort. It implies work. It implies determination. Not everybody you talk to is going to get saved. But you talk to enough people, some will. He first findeth. He went looking for him. Implies effort. Luke 15, when Jesus tells the story of the lost sheep, the shepherd searched until he found it. And brought it back to the fold. Effort, work, determination. Living for Jesus is not for lazy wimps. There's some effort involved in doing the Lord's work. We need to make soul winning a priority. He first findeth his own brother and brought him to Jesus. And then he findeth his brother. He spent the effort. There are multitudes around us who are lost and cannot find their way home to God. Our job is to find them and bring them to Jesus. But we're not willing to put forth the effort, to put forth the work. Oh, we do every other kind of work. We put forth every other kind of effort. Don't you think something is kind of out of balance in our Christian life when we've got time to do everything else, but we don't have time to go looking for people to bring to Jesus? I've always admired Michael Garner. I've admired him because he's one of the hardest working men I know. He works hard. He gets up early. He works late. But I admire him for another reason. Every Saturday, for years, he ran a bus route. He always made time. And when we asked him to come off the bus and take a Sunday school class every Saturday, he's here going out visiting, going out telling people, going out looking for people. Takes effort. Takes effort. It takes someone making soul winning a priority in their life. And then effort to bring it to reality. And then notice, thirdly, Andrew first findeth his own brother. Every Christian should be concerned about their own family first. It's not an accident this happened this way. God wants us to be concerned about our family when we get saved. It wasn't an accident Carl Hatch got concerned about his brothers and his family who were lost. That's what God does when we're saved and we're right with God. He puts that burden in our heart for those we love. It doesn't make any difference whether they came out of Catholicism or a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church or a Baptist church. When we get saved, when we're born again, when God lives in us, then he begins to burden our hearts about those things that burden his. And there's nothing heavier on the heart of God than getting people to Jesus Christ, getting people saved. When the maniac of Gadara was healed, the demons were cast out, and he trusted Christ, he got saved. He wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to get in the boat and go with Jesus. Said, no, maniac, you can't go. I don't know what his name was. He said, no, you can't go with me. You go back to your own family. Go back to your own town and show them and tell them what I've done for you. And he went back to Decapolis, an area of 10 cities or villages. And when Jesus came through there, there was a great company of people waiting to meet him. Wonder where they heard about him. An old maniac. An old crazy man, a demon-possessed man that ran to Jesus, and the demons were cast out, and he was wonderfully saved, obeyed the Lord. And he put something as a priority in his life, and he began to tell people about Jesus. Now let me imply a couple of things here. The Bible, if you'll read that story, in each of the Gospels where it's recorded. You'll find that he not only told them about Jesus, he showed them what God had done in his life. So how could he show them? Well, there's a pretty good difference in his life from being a maniac to in his right mind fully clothed. There's a big difference from being over here out of your mind, naked, cut all to pieces, living in the tombs among the rotting remains of the dead, and now being fully clothed in his right mind, telling people about Jesus. Well, Brother Smith, I don't know why people won't get saved when I tell them. Do they see any difference in your life than before you got saved? You still dressing like a bum? Sloppy? You still got the piercings in your ears and your nose and your tongue and your mouth? I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Something silver flopping around it. That's stupid. Listen, you talking about a maniac. That old boy wasn't crazier than that crowd. Why does someone want to put an earring in your nose? And I don't know, how do they get that back on that thing up in there? Don't you think it'll collect a lot of... You know what it collects? One big booger ball. I don't understand it. And I saw this woman the other day at Whataburger. I go there to get chopped steak and a salad. She had a pin, a safety pin, stuck through here. I wanted to reach out and say, here, let me get that out for you. You're talking about crazy. I thank God she was waiting at the counter and not making my hamburger. Chopped beef and a salad. God help you, Brother Morrell. She just caught what I was saying. Just caught. There's one in every church. Did you know he had broken his arm? Is that news to you? Okay. But he had not only a message to tell, he could show a change in his life. Wouldn't it be great if we could show and tell? When my girls were in school, Daddy, we're having show and tell today. Hey, they didn't come up with that at some teacher's convention. God started that when he said to this maniac, go show yourself and tell what I've done for you. Show and tell. Did you get that? Did you get that, Miss Morrell? Okay. Jesus does make a difference in our lives. Now, something really bothers me when people say they've got saved and 2 and 3 years go by and there's never a change and yet they're in church. Something bothers me about that church. Something bothers me about those who are supposed to be teaching and discipling them. And something bothers me about them because I know when Jesus saved this rebel, he made a change in my heart. When he saved Simon Peter, he made a change in his life. When he saved the maniac of Gadara, he made a change in his life. When he saved the woman at the well, he made a difference in her life. And then Andrew had that spoken testimony. Spoken testimony. Now, I believe I don't believe in lifestyle discipleship. If all you do is say, I'm going to live clean and let people see Jesus in me, you're not going to have a lot of converts, if any. I've never had a person walk the aisle and say, I got saved because I've been looking at so-and-so. Usually when you get to looking at so-and-so, you backslide, you don't get saved. You get out of the will of God. But Andrew, I believe in lifestyle discipleship. I believe we as Christians need a testimony for Jesus Christ that's visible so young Christians can have an example to follow. But Andrew also had a verbal testimony. He had something to speak to his brother. And he, the maniac, not only showed what happened, showed a changed life, he also told them what happened. Andrew had a spoken testimony, and we need also to have a living testimony and a spoken testimony of the saving grace of God. Andrew had a simple testimony. We have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. A simple testimony. You don't have to be a graduate from Bible college to be a soul winner. Some of the greatest soul winners are just people that's operating on simple faith and a simple testimony. And so it was with Andrew. He had a simple testimony. The woman at the well had a simple testimony. Come see the man that told me all things, whichever I did. Is not this the Christ? Every one of us can give a simple testimony of what Christ has done for us. And the truth is, the devil can't refute that. He can't refute that. Thirdly, Andrew's purpose in witnessing. He brought him to Jesus. When we go soul winning, we're not out there just to do like some of our bus captains to visit 3 hours. We're going to actually look for people. His purpose was, he had a purpose in his witnessing, and that was not just to talk to so many contacts, but he wanted to find somebody to bring to Jesus Christ. He had somebody on his mind and somebody on his heart. He had a purpose. Andrew not only told, he brought. I think one of the great mistakes we make in soul winning today is we tell them and maybe even lead them to trust Christ as Savior at home, and we never go back after them. We never follow up. We never invite them to come with us. We never bring them. The reason Brother Clovis Wade has people down the aisle all the time, he not only witnesses to win them, he brings them. He brings them. He's doing what Andrew did. He brought him to Jesus Christ. Andrew became a human link between Simon Peter and Jesus Christ. And it may be you are the missing link between some lost person and Jesus Christ. In fact, I think some of you are the missing link, period. Fourthly, Andrew's reward. Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonian Christians, you are my crown of rejoicing. You. Andrew's rewards, every time he looked at Simon Peter, he had the joy of knowing. I didn't save him, but I had the privilege of bringing him to Jesus. Andrew's reward. Oh, I look out and see people that have had a part in winning to Christ and reaching for Christ, and I see them grow. See their life change and their home change. Oh, what a reward. I see young men accepting Christ and then surrendering their life to follow Him, to preach the gospel, and see their life as they prepare and they go out. Oh my, what a reward, what a blessing. What a blessing. I think Andrew had another reward. Old Simon Peter. Brother Carl Ogden and I are friends, and we call every Monday, if not Sunday night, to check how each other's day went. We're just buddies and concerned. We do that. You know, you love somebody, you care about what they're doing, and they care about what you're doing. And I rejoice with him when God pours out a blessing on them. So I kind of think Andrew and Peter were talking together. Peter said, hey, bud. Bro, 3,000 today. 3,000. And Andrew said, yo, bro, 3,001. Ah, the reward of it. The reward of it. Leading people to Jesus Christ. The great thing about it is that we're not keeping the record. God is. And I don't have the ability to figure all of those things out. But God does. I have preachers call me on certain days, their salvation anniversary. And they got saved under our ministry somewhere at some time. And they'll call me and just thank me for preaching the gospel or telling them about Jesus Christ. And they're off in Delaware or California or Michigan or Florida or Alabama, somewhere out there. And I'm glad that I don't have to keep all of those records. But God does. That's the reason He's not going to reward us until it's all over here. Because, see, the fruit is not just bearing fruit. Fruit is bearing fruit, more fruit, much fruit. God, when we are obeying Him and we're winning people that mature and begin to win people, and they win people that mature and begin to win people, and they mature and begin to win people that win people, then you've got people winning people that's winning people that's winning people, and that's better than compound interest. I don't have a calculator to figure all of that, but God does. And I'm here to tell you, we're going to either rejoice in the wonderful blessings of bringing people to Jesus Christ, or in that day we'll stand before Him and wish 10,000 times we'd have made a different choice back here about this matter called soul winning and witness. God can save any sinner. If there's someone who's willing to let God use us to bring them to Jesus. People are not going to come looking for Jesus to get saved. Andrew received Christ, but somebody had to bring him to Jesus. There are people that'll get saved, but we've got to win them. We've got to bring them. God can use any Christian to be an Andrew. Just put your life into God's hand, and He's willing and ready to show and tell others. Use you to show and tell others about what God's done in your life. You too can become an Andrew. Christ said if we'd follow Him, He would make us fishers of men. Evidently, if we're not winning people, we're not following Him. Let me just close with one last thing. How faithful are you in trying to bring people to Jesus, to win people to Jesus, to get people saved, to get them in church, to get them on the right road, trusting and serving the Lord Jesus? Don't you think that ought to be a priority in our life? Don't you think in the hustle and bustle of our day, with the economy and with Congress and the health care bill and swine flu and all of this and that, jobs, income going down, the dollar devaluating, isn't it easy to get our mind on all of these things and forget one of the first things that we ought to be about, one of the priority things? That's bringing people to Jesus. Father, that's our message tonight. Would you speak to our hearts, Lord God? There's no one who discovered Jesus on their own. Every one of us trusted you because somebody loved us. Somebody prayed for us. Somebody witnessed to us. Somebody worked at bringing us to Jesus Christ. Help us not to get over that. Help us not to be so foolish we make excuses and not do it. Help us to draw close to you, and then we'll be concerned about what you're concerned about. And nothing concerns you in a greater way than getting people to Jesus. Well, you established the church, not just so we could fellowship and laugh and sing, but you established the church so we could go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're still wanting us to bring people to Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for the soul winners that we have in our church. But Lord, that number needs to be added to. The number has decreased because some who used to be soul winners have quit and don't come anymore. And I pray you'd bring conviction upon their heart and they'd get back doing the priority work, one of the first works that we're to be about. And then I pray that you'll speak to new members of this church. People are new, who are newly saved, or people who have newly become a part of this church, and you'd begin to move on their heart about this matter of bringing people to Jesus and winning people to Jesus. That's what we're about. That's one of the first things we're to be concerned about in our Christian life. We can't replace that with teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the choir or giving to missions. Because it's a personal responsibility every one of us has been given. And it's a privilege we've been entrusted with. Help us to be faithful to do it.